coach of the Ferris State Bulldog football team, head coach Tony Anise. Tony, it's finally good for me to sit face-to-face with you. I mean, you and Ray have obviously met before, but thanks for sitting out in our mobile studio here with us.
Great to be here. Beautiful time of the year up here in the north. No?
It's a little chilly coming in at 4:30 in the morning, about 5 degrees.
Yeah, we, leaving Grand Rapids, come up here. When we cross the Muskegon River, we call it the UP. So, yeah, we're in the UP right now.
So you got the football class coming up here. You're going to be able to assign players tomorrow. I know you can't talk specifically about anybody. But in general, what does this class look like?
You know, we're really excited about the class. You know, there's still people in our league who are trying to retrieve them, and they're running down our commits and calling them still and texting them. So if they're striving to get our commits, that means they're good commits. So hopefully they put their name on the dotted line tomorrow and they'll be ours, and then I can talk about them.
I imagine the street goes both ways, right? You probably take a look at some of the guys that they're looking at.
No. When we see a guy that's a commit, we basically wish him well and tell him good luck.
Oh, so cool.
Is that
gentleman's agreement?
Yeah,
that's the way we want to be.
What is the gentleman's agreement on that? Because I know when Urban Meyer came into the Big Ten, he kind of ruffled some feathers going after guys that were already committed, and you know, a few of the older guys in the league kind of went after him for it, but it turns out that he's still doing that. How does it play in the Glee Act?
Well, it's changed a little bit. I think that you know, it's become more competitive. We've started earlier. They've started earlier. I even saw the other day that a kid was committed for 2015, or got an offer for 2015, I guess. So in the GLIAC, and normally, you know, people start kind of after the season in regards to going and making offers, but offers are made earlier, and it's become more competitive. But when Urban Meyer first came in, his first year, obviously there were a lot of commits, and I almost give him, you know, the benefit of the doubt in that situation, because, you know, you got to be able to make your pitch. But I had to do that the first year. I took over on December 22nd, so I had to try to pitch kids that were probably thinking a different direction. But that was our first year. Now we've kind of stabilized our recruiting philosophy, and we're trying to respect commits. You know, I always tell kids, you know, I want them to want us as bad as we want them, and ultimately, we try to keep kids alone if they've committed elsewhere.
You know, also Brady Hoke had a policy that I think he went back on myself, but initially it was, hey, if you commit to us, then that's a done deal. And then if you were to reopen your recruitment and then go ahead and visit somewhere else or entertain another offer, then that would be the end of that initial relationship. How do you approach that situation with kids?
Well, so far we've been very fortunate that, we're trying to, you know, develop relationships with young men and trying to get them to understand that, you know, there's different reasons why you choose an institution beyond just football, and we got to sell Ferris State as an institution, and we got to sell ourselves and the people that are here at Ferris State. Ultimately, you know, it's about people. I always tell them, you know, shiny uniforms, shiny buildings, nice pretty shoes. I mean, if those things are big factors and you determine, and you know, where you're going to go to school, I mean, that's pretty shallow. So, you know, there's a lot more that we have to sell here. And ultimately, you know, we sell the fact that we're going to, you know, respect them as individuals and work hard to develop relationships with them and have a good lot of camaraderie. And ultimately, when we bring people onto campus, you know, we got a group of young people here that sell it. They feel great about the direction of the program. And our freshmen, honestly, we had a recruiting visit 2 weeks ago. I had 20 freshmen here selling it. They've only been on campus, what, 5-6 months, and they're already, so happy, and they're trying to, you know, get a great class behind them.
So big day tomorrow. How much time would you say that your coaching staff and yourself, you guys, spend on the recruiting trail? Phones, you know, social network, all that stuff. Do you have a Twitter account? Are you a Twitter guy, Facebook guy?
Yeah, I do have a Twitter account.
You love
account.
It, don't you?
Yeah, I have a Facebook. But, now that basically you're open to the text and stuff like that, you get direct contact with kids. But, you know, it's really all day, every day. It really is. My prize recruiter right now is Ryan Brady. He's my quarterback coach and offensive coordinator, and he's constantly engaged with young people, and so you know, every recruit that we get a commit, they're like, you know, Coach Brady, you know, Coach Brady, Coach Brady. So all of my guys are working hard, you know, that kind of connection, the relationship that you can develop with the young person is how you win.
So when you go to craft like that Facebook post, do you just sit there and stare at it like I do blank for like 30 minutes? And you type something in and you know that's no good. I can't come up with small stuff. You're probably not too good at coming up with small stuff on there either, are you?
Typically it's a text. I really don't use my Facebook. I used my Facebook when I first took the job because I had to get connected with a bunch of guys in a short period of time. But now I don't all that much. And honestly, the Twitter stuff, I'm not all that good at that either.
But that's like confessional for these kids. A lot of them will say anything and everything. You can just sort of watch over their entire life on Facebook and Twitter.
Snapchat now.
There it is.
Snapchat, yeah.
We're old and
so,
behind.
Yeah, right. So I don't even know what that means. Yeah, whatever that is. But
another thing I won't do is what right. It is. But.
Yeah, I haven't figured it out, but my guys have. So, it's all about kind of getting a kid, you know, feeling good about who we are and getting them to laugh and those kind of things. So
when does spring ball start up here?
We start on March 21st, and so excited about that. Actually, today we've got testing for our guys, and the nasty part, in my opinion, of being a college football coach is from the time the season ends to the time signing day is. It's a little bit difficult to be with your guys that you have on campus. So now, today, we'll be with our guys, and that'll be a wonderful thing.
Coach, when you talk about the athletes that are out there, how does it filter down? Because I know there's a pecking order. Division One is going to offer the full rides, and then some kids fall, some don't get what they expect, things like that happen. How fluid is that situation at Division Two?
That's a great question because we've lost a lot of guys to Eastern Michigan because he came on late. And so a lot of guys that were on our board who we had made offers to, we lost to them. We just lost a couple to Central Michigan who, you know, they made some late offers to a couple kids. And the FCS is starting to come in. So we lost a kid to North Dakota State. You know, we've lost some kids to some of the FCS schools. So, you know, it's tough, but, you know, you just basically go back to your board, and it's the next guy that's on your board that you start recruiting a little bit harder than you did previously.
And then as far as scholarship offers at the Division II level, what are you able to offer kids, and does it vary?
Most of the time, what a Division II, it does vary, absolutely it varies, but most of us divide our scholarship money and make an offer anywhere, you know, based upon tuition or less, typically. The maximum number of scholarships that Division II has is 36, so if we put 36 kids on full rides, it would be obviously...
You'd have a good first string.
We'd have 36 happy kids, and the rest of them would be unhappy. So so we have to divide the money up, and that's a job in and of itself.
Do you divide it up between a certain number, or is it just how many ever you want to pull into the mix?
It depends on our needs. You know, you got to evaluate your needs. We've stabilized, in my opinion, we've stabilized our roster a little bit. So we aren't as desperate as we were to bring a bunch of guys in. Now we're a little bit more selective and kind of figuring out what our needs are and trying to meet those needs.
How big of a class do you expect to bring in for this year?
You know, our goal is somewhere between 25 and 30, typically. You know, if we get an extra 30, 31, 32, that's okay. If it's less than 25, that's okay. We certainly want to have enough depth where we're functioning in an effective manner. In this league, you've got to be, you know, three deep to be able to make it through this league. We lost so many linebackers last year, and we're popping people in and out and that kind of stuff. So, you know, it's just the nature of what we do in regards to the challenges we face in the GLIAC. We've got to have a lot of depth.
Head coach Tony Anise for the Ferris State Bulldog football team here, Doc and Bentley broadcasting live up in Big Rapids at the Rock Cafe. Ferris State University. So tomorrow, then, it looks like you're going to have a press conference about 12:30 then at the Wheeler Pavilion.
Yes. Hopefully all those guys have those letter of intent signed, and then we can talk about them. So that's an exciting time.
Nobody has a fax machine.
Yeah,
so how do they get this stuff
still
in there?
Fax, ma'am?
Yeah, we sit by the fax machine and wait and get excited when one pops in. But, you know, that is just trying to get them in and looking for the names and making sure they signed all the right spots
right.
and calling them ours.
And the actual tender and the grant and aid, is that I know at Division One it's a 4-year renewable. Actually, it's a 1-year renewable agreement. Is that the same?
Right,
Division
it's the same.
Two?
Yep. So, you know, obviously there's some obligations we have in a contractual situation where, you know, we've got to respect that agreement. And so, you know, unless a young man isn't living up to his side of the expectation, then it'll be renewed. But it can be. Can be pulled for some reasons, but we wouldn't do it for just any reasons.
8-3 this past year, Tony. Some great highlights in the season, and some things I'm sure you'd rather not even talk about at this point. But give me your overview of where the Bulldog football program is right now.
Well, I feel very good about it. You know, the year before we were 7-4, but one of our wins was in the first game was an NAI school. This past year, we're 8-3. One of our losses was to the three-time national champ and a team that dismantled everyone. They won the national championship game in FCS 35-7. And looking even back at that game, you know, we rushed for more yards against North Dakota State than any team they played all year. So, and I pulled my quarterback after the first possession of the third quarter. So, also, you know, looking at the season, you know, with some of the things that happened towards the end of the season with me, people kind of got lost focus on our team. But, you know, we went through 14 quarters there at the end where we were dominant on defense particularly. But, we played great football at the end of the season, and we were really at the top of our game at the end of the season. It took a while because of, so many new defensive personnel because we brought some kids in, and really six of our starters didn't even participate in spring ball. So we like where we are, and we think we got a lot of kids back, so we're excited.
You got your quarterback coming back. Talk about that.
Yeah, unless he goes to NFL, I got him back for two more years. So, he's, you know, it's he makes, you know, I always just say, you know, players make coaches good, you know, and so he makes me be a pretty good coach.
Makes you a hell of a lot smarter.
Yeah, I'm smarter, you know.
better looking.
Yeah, just about anything. But
less stress.
Absolutely, but, you know, you're only as good as your last game, and you know, Peyton Manning was the greatest, and then all of a sudden he lost in the Super Bowl. So, Jason's a great football player, but he's not content. He's determined to get better. He's working it every day. He's one of the, I always say when your best player is the hardest working player, then you got something, and that's what we got there. We got our best player who's the hardest working player who never really feels like he's arrived, and he's determined to get better every single day, and he'll be working it hard today and being competing and testing and getting all of our guys rallied up to do the things they need to do. And I think our morale's really high, and I think we're looking forward to a great year.
Tony, good stuff. We appreciate you coming on live like this.
Thanks, guys. A lot of fun. Thanks for being in Big Rapids.
No, this is great. Tony Anise, head coach, Ferris State Bulldog football.